Trading in futures products entails significant risk of loss, which must be understood prior to trading and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Good morning, everybody. It's Monday, March 11th, 5:26 a.m. Central Time. Grain markets are mixed to lower this morning. May corn futures down 3 at 436 and 3 quarters. May soybeans down 4.5 at 1179 and a half. May Chicago wheat up 0.25 at 538. May Kansas City wheat down 3.25 at 585 and a half. May spring wheat down 2 at 660 and 3 quarters. Let's start off with Friday's USDA report.
So the report featured no major surprises. The old crop U.S. balance sheets were unchanged for corn and soybeans, while the U.S. wheat export projection was cut by 15 million bushels. USDA made a small downward revision to its estimate of Brazil's soybean crop, but remains above consensus. The China soybean situation was perhaps the most interesting piece of the report. USDA made multiple upward demand revisions across four marketing years. Perhaps most importantly, the USDA made an upward revision to this year's Chinese soybean import forecast.
USDA a little bit more optimistic about China. This is what they said in the report. Beginning stocks are lowered 1.4 million tons, mainly on historical crush and import revisions for China. Soybean crush for China is raised for the 2020-21 marketing year to 22-23 based on a review of in-country estimates and supplies. Soybean imports for China for 22-23 are also raised to reflect shipping data by major exporters. So you saw upward demand revisions for China across four marketing years, crush and exports, and the most recent one, or maybe the biggest one, is that they increased their estimate for this year's Chinese soybean imports. So I guess this is USDA telling us that maybe China is not in as bad a shape as what we had thought based on shipping data or whatever data that they were using. In the past, these sort of retroactive revisions had been bearish the market as of late. It was like higher Brazilian production numbers. In this instance, we saw something friendly, and it's not super bullish. It's not necessarily a big market mover, but does tighten up the global balance sheets just slightly. So if anything, maybe the take home here is that soybean numbers were maybe slightly positive relative to expectations just because of this China stuff. On the U.S. side, again, this was an old crop report, so they're not talking new crop acreage or yields or anything like that. For the U.S., they left everything unchanged for corn and soybeans. Small downward revision to wheat exports, which I suppose was warranted, and really not much to speak of in terms of those South American production numbers. So this China soybean thing and the upward demand revisions across four marketing years from USDA is probably the big take home from the report, I guess.
Fund traders continue to hold a historically large net short position across the corn and soybean complex. CFTC released weekly commitment of traders data on Friday. During the week ending March 5th, the funds were net buyers of 2,000 contracts of corn. The net short of 286,000 contracts of corn is one of the largest on record. Funds were net sellers of 9,000 contracts of soybeans. The net short of 160,000 contracts is the largest since mid-2019. And funds were net sellers of 9,000 contracts of SRW wheat on the week.
So we've seen some short covering in the corn market. This net short, though, of 286,000 contracts in corn, that's a massive net short. And it was probably peeled a little bit after the reporting period last week. I think the estimate from the private groups that funds are short 275 or 280,000 contracts to start the week. This net short in the soybean market, 160,000, that's basically the second largest on record. I think the record net short for the funds in soybeans was 171,000, which would have been from 2019, like U.S.-China trade war type territory. So these are some big net short positions. When you look at them combined, corn, soybeans, SRW wheat, 511,000 contracts worth of net shorts, which is pretty damn close to a record. It's been kind of floating here around 500,000 for a few weeks without any real movement. So if you're going to see some short covering, maybe this is the time of year for it. Spring, summer is usually the time period associated with your best prices in the row crop markets in particular. We may need some sort of catalyst. We may need some better export demand or something to happen on the weather front. But this is a big net short, and they appear fairly comfortable, I guess, for the moment.
So if you guys have not checked out our premium content, you need to do so. Joe, can you tell me about some videos you put together last week?
Report day is a good day to be a premium subscriber. I have a a post-report snapshot video sent out, usually within 15 or 20 minutes of the release. We just go over the high-level stuff. What are the big take-home items from the report? On Thursday, Shea was on, do land purchases make sense? Buying land is an interesting proposition in this environment. Land's a great thing to own, but at the same time, does it cash flow given current commodity prices, that sort of thing? Shea had a free calculator and tool available to kind of help you along with these decisions. I think it's super interesting. Even if you're not like a super serious land buyer right now, this is probably something that would be of interest to you. If you guys want to see the premium stuff, there's a new premium video every single business day. Our morning email goes out at 5 a.m. Central Time. That includes our six most recent premium videos, along with all of our grain marketing recommendations, a whole bunch of other charts, graphics, things along those lines. This is a $50 per month subscription. You can cancel at any time. No other fee, no other obligation. Nobody will try to sell you anything else. This is the best way to support what we're doing here, guys. We don't have any sponsors. We have no corporate backing. This whole deal, podcast, YouTube, everything, this is all sponsored by you guys, by the premium sub. So if you're a premium sub, we love you. If you're not, you should give it a shot this morning.
USDA reported another flash cancellation of U.S. SRW wheat to China on Friday. Private exporters reported the cancellation of sales of 110,000 metric tons of U.S. SRW wheat for delivery to China during the current marketing year. The cancellation was the second in 2 days. On Thursday, exporters also canceled the sale of 130,000 metric tons of SRW wheat to China for delivery during the current marketing year.
This was largely expected. We mentioned it on Friday morning that there was probably another cancellation coming. And who knows, you may even see another one today or tomorrow. That being said, SRW wheat futures posted a reversal to the upside on Friday following this news. So we'd like to see some follow-through buying in the wheat market, maybe some short covering there. Similar reversal attempts as of late have failed in all of these grain markets. So we'd like to see one of these things stick for a change.
The United Nations Food Price Index has fallen to its lowest level in 3 years. In February, the index fell for the seventh consecutive month to 117.3 points, down from a revised 118.2 points in January. The agency's cereal index declined 5% on a monthly basis and 22.3% year over year. Expectations of a massive South American corn crop and competitive prices from Ukraine were cited as reasons for the decline. Vegetable oil prices declined 1.3% from the previous month and 11% compared to February 2023 due to abundant supplies from South America. According to UN estimates, global wheat production will reach 797 million tons this year, up 1% compared to last year.
So when I look at this, and I made a typo on this chart, it should say World Food Price Index. In any case, so the food price index measures like a basket of commodities. And when I think of food, I don't really necessarily associate that with the commodity markets, like, because they're two different things. If you were to look at a chart of prices of food at the grocery store, at least in the United States and probably overseas too, it's got to be record high, right? But commodity prices have peeled back, and that's more so what this is measuring. So I feel like that's kind of like a misnomer, like your world food price index is down when really like commodity prices are down, but stuff at the store, at least for the developed world, is really not at all.
Job growth exceeded expectations last month. In February, non-farm payrolls increased by 275,000. Economists were projecting an increase of 198,000. Job growth in December was revised down to 290,000 from 330,000. January job growth was also revised lower to 229,000, down from 353,000. The unemployment rate increased to 3.9% in February, up from 3.7% in January. Average hourly earnings increased by 0.1% on the month and 4.3% compared to last year.
Some people might look at this and say that the job market is deteriorating a little bit. Maybe you could look at it and say that it's more of a mean reversion type thing. I know a lot of people looked at those downward revisions for December and January. Unemployment at 3.9 is historically pretty low. Although if you zoom in and you take out that big COVID bar, it is the highest since January of 22. So I don't know. I think this probably keeps the rate cuts on the table. It's one of the many things that keep the rate cuts on the table. The odds right now are that by the end of the year, and we don't know exactly when the cuts are going to happen, that the odds say that the first cut's going to be in June. But by the end of the year, the markets indicate that your effective Fed fund rate is going to be 4.25 to 4.5, which would be down 1 full percentage point from the effective rate right now. So the rate cuts remain still very much on the table the way that it seems. And that hasn't really changed much as of late. What did cattle do on Friday?
They were lower. Feeders closed an average of $1.33 lower. Live cattle closed an average of 83 cents lower. Despite the board being down, cash cattle trade was higher last week, week over week. In the north, cattle traded between 184 to 185, which was $1 to $2 higher. In the south, cattle were $2 higher at 185. Box beef was higher on Friday. Choice ended the day at 307.04. That was up 43 cents. And select was $1.17 higher at 297.43.
Outside markets pretty quiet. U.S. dollars about flat. Stocks are down just a little bit. Bonds up just a little bit. Crude oil is up 3 cents in the May WTI at 77.53. Have a great day, guys. We'll talk to you on Tuesday.